when we think about what's important in life, I can think of few things more important than being here to worship God. And I'm grateful to the men and the women who've taken time to say, this is important to me, and that are here to serve God from the heart. I admire your faithfulness, and I'm grateful for your presence this morning. I want to think with you about becoming a Christian and staying a Christian. All of us are in one of those two situations, either becoming a Christian or staying a Christian. And I want to suggest to you this morning, as we look at Acts chapter 26, if you'll make your way over to Acts chapter 26, that at the core of becoming a Christian is persuasion, being persuaded. At the root of faith, there is a persuasion that we come to trust, we come to a confidence because we are persuaded of the truth of the gospel. And this morning I want to ask, how do we become a Christian, and specifically, how are we persuaded to become and to stay a Christian? This is a matter of what makes us change, what makes us become something. What makes you do anything? I want to suggest to you that one of three things causes you to do something. Either you're forced to do it, it happens to you by chance, it just kind of happens, or you choose to do it. You know, some things you're made to do. My children, 8 years ago, drove across the state line into Texas and were made to become Texans. Some of you were born Texans and you're proud of it. But you were made to have become if you were born here. You didn't have a choice in that. And so you became something without choice. Other times we become things by accident or by happenstance, unintentionally. This happens often in our lives. We let other people decide. We really don't care. I want to suggest to you that most of the things we eat are like that. Something goes on sale at the grocery store, our wife buys us something, or that's the only thing that's in the cupboard, and we just eat it. No one forced us to. We really didn't choose it. It's just what we ate. Just happenstance. That's why we do the things we do. Other times, though, we choose intentionally to do things. We purpose. We have a choice in those. And that's what Christianity is. No one can force you to become a Christian, not really. And it doesn't happen by chance, not really. We choose to become Christians and to stay Christians. That's what I want to talk with you about this morning, is how do we become persuaded to be Christians and to stay Christians? It's a matter of us making that choice, both at the beginning and throughout our lives. You know, I think about this a lot because today it's especially difficult to persuade people. I don't know if you understand this, but today, generally, people say, well, you have your opinion and I have mine. And generally, we don't think that we can persuade people to come around to our opinion. And in fact, it's discouraged to try to persuade people. You know what I mean? It's difficult in this day and age to persuade people, to keep persuaded. Many different perspectives, many different truths, many different opinions, and we stay in our own side of the court. But it is a fact that Christians are told they need to be persuaded to become Christians, that we need to persuade others to become Christians. And so it is in Acts chapter 26 that we read about Paul trying to persuade Agrippa, King Agrippa, that powerful political figure in the area of Judea. Paul's trying to persuade him in Acts 26 to become a Christian. And we read throughout the New Testament of Paul and others going throughout the Mediterranean world trying to persuade people. In Acts chapter 19, verse 8, we read that Paul tried to persuade people about the kingdom of God. And he says that knowing the fear of the Lord in 1st, 2nd Corinthians, we try to persuade men. Christians are supposed to be persuaded and to persuade others. That's part of a Christian life. And this morning I want to look with you in a focused way in Acts chapter 26 about how Paul tried to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. And let this be a lesson for us as we are persuaded to become Christians or try to keep persuaded to become Christians. Notice with me in Acts chapter 26, verse 19, how we have here an account of Paul's persuasion or attempt to persuade King Agrippa. Read with me here just a few verses in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 19, we'll read down to verse 29. Paul says to Agrippa, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this very reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day I have had the help that comes from God, and so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles." And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether long or short, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." What's going on here? Paul's trying to persuade Agrippa. The key verse there is in verse 28. My version says, "In a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian?" Other versions has Agrippa say to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." And so whether Agrippa is asking, "Do you think you can so quickly persuade me?" or Agrippa is saying, "You almost persuade me," the issue is persuasion. The issue is, will Agrippa be persuaded? And this morning, I just want to look with you very briefly at how Paul tries to persuade Agrippa. And let this sink on our heart. Let these arguments that Paul makes sink on our heart to cause us either to become a Christian or to stay a Christian. Because the reasons Paul gives, the arguments that he marshals, are as relevant today in 2019 as they were back when Paul wrote them. Amen. Notice, first of all, Paul argues and tries to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian by the fact of the resurrection. His message is that there is truth. And that truth is that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Therefore, you should become a Christian. That's his argument here throughout this book, in this chapter, I mean. And so he wants to influence Agrippa by the truth, the reality that Jesus was resurrected. You and I are persuaded by facts, by things that we see. This week you may have had my experience. It happened to me last night. A storm came through, and all of a sudden, before it even started to rain, the hail started to fall. And so I ran out and brought my car under the garage. I saw the ice hitting the ground, and I didn't have to ask, am I persuaded? I was persuaded that hail was coming, and ran out and changed that. And you and I both know the feeling. You have the radio on, you have the TV on, and the weatherman says, "There's hail coming." You see the radar, you think, am I going to be persuaded by that? No, Jiminy Cricket, you run out there and you prepare for that hail because there is a message that has a truth that says it's coming and we believe it, we're persuaded. And Paul says to Agrippa, Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. You need to be persuaded. And that's a truth that Paul speaks that we in our hearts need to believe like a hail hitting the ground. I see it, I have witness to it, I believe it. And Paul says to Agrippa, that is a truth you must believe. Festus says, you're out of your mind. But Paul says, no, I'm speaking rational, sober, truthful words to you, and you should be persuaded by this. You have to back all the way up to verse 8, really, to see where Paul has been talking about the resurrection. Just put your eyes on verse 8 of chapter 26. He's been talking about his background, Paul has. All this time he's been talking to Agrippa. And he says, look, I was raised, in verse 5, according to the Pharisees. I have the hope in the promise which God has made to our fathers. Verse 6, that's the hope of the resurrection. It's on account of that hope in the resurrection in verse 7 that the Jews earnestly worship night and day. He says this idea of the resurrection is nothing new. Israel acknowledges it, and he says in verse 8, why is it thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? The issue is the resurrection. He says that's not incredible. God's spoken of that from the time of the prophets forward that he would raise, and I, he says, beginning in verse 12, have seen him. I've seen the resurrected Lord. And so Paul comes up to Agrippa there at the end of this chapter, and he says, King Agrippa, you believe the prophets who testified that Jesus would be raised? I know you believe. Won't you be persuaded? And that's the question for us today. But you know what, brothers and sisters? We live in an era in which it's challenging to believe in the resurrection. I don't know if you saw the news. There was an article in the New York Times about 3 or 4 weeks ago during Easter in which the president of a seminary up in New York City, a place I worked for 3 years, by the way, came out and said, you know what? You don't need to believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus to become a Christian. She came out and she said, you just need to believe that it symbolizes God's love for the world, but you don't need to believe that Jesus was actually raised to be a Christian. And it raised a firestorm. Because people pointed to passages like this and said, you can't say that you can be a Christian and not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. But in our world, people who are presidents of seminaries who stand up as theologians and authorities say, you don't really need to believe that. And the question that you and I have to ask is, what are we persuaded of? Are we persuaded that Jesus rose from the dead, or do we think, oh, that didn't really happen? Paul says you need to believe that to be persuaded. Paul says elsewhere that many people witnessed Jesus' resurrection, and the apostles throughout the New Testament affirm the need to believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus if we're to become Christians. Brothers and sisters, will you turn with me over to one passage on this topic, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just read for a moment the Apostle Paul's affirmation of the importance of the physical resurrection of Jesus to our Christian faith. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. Paul here is listing the eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. In chapter 15, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul, in verse 3, affirms what he has said back in Acts 26, that the Scriptures had said Jesus would raise from the dead for our sins. That's what he says in verse 3. And in verse 4, the Scriptures say that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Verse 5, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. And so what is Paul doing here? He's saying, look, I'm testifying to you that these things are true, that Jesus appealed to Peter. We read about that in the Gospels, then to the 12 apostles. And he appeared to more. Verse 6, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Turn with me back over to Acts chapter 26, and we'll pick up there. But notice what Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 15. He's saying Jesus appeared to all of these people. He appeared to all of these people, and the fact that he was raised should cause us to believe in him. And if you believe in him, you believe in the claim that he makes that he is the Son of God, and that in him is life. And if you believe that he resurrected, you need to believe that he's going to come again in judgment. And that's his point there in 1 Corinthians 15, is that the fact that he was raised is evidence of the fact that we will be raised if we're faithful to him. So Paul seeks to persuade Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 by the truth of the resurrection. Listen, this is so important. In our life, when we struggle with sin, when we struggle with temptation, we struggle with weakness and sorrow, we in our hearts need to come back to the evidence of the fact that Jesus is raised. And that weighty fact should cause us to be faithful, should persuade us to be Christians in our life. If he is raised, that means he is Lord, and I have hope if I live for him. So why are we Christians? How do we become a Christian? We're persuaded by the truth of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 26, Agrippa should have been persuaded. Paul says he knows that Agrippa believes the prophets there in verse 27. Now, Agrippa needed to believe. He may have believed the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, and if that was true, then he should have followed Jesus as Lord. The fact of Jesus' resurrection should have persuaded Agrippa to become a Christian. But that's not where Paul ends in his argument. He didn't just lay out the resurrection. He tells Agrippa not only about the fact of the resurrection, he tries to persuade Agrippa because of a feeling that Agrippa can have. And the feeling is the feeling of forgiveness. Now, it's a fact, too, but it's a feeling. When we are forgiven, we have what? Peace with God. If I'm forgiven of my sin, those sins are no longer on me. I'm in relationship with God. I have peace with God. My conscience is clean. Amen. And what Paul does with Agrippa is to tell Agrippa, look, if you believe, if you become a Christian, you'll be forgiven of your sins. That's a feeling that you can have, contrary to the feelings and desires of this world. And we can persuade others by reminding them of the feeling of forgiveness that comes through allegiance to Jesus Christ. Notice with me how Paul does this. Turn with me back over to Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18. And there you have the account of what Jesus told Paul on the road to Damascus, when he told Saul before he was converted. And what we read in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18, is that Jesus sent Paul to turn people to the light. Notice there in verses 17 and 18, I'm sending you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, Jesus said, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now remember, Paul is telling Agrippa all of this, trying to persuade him to become a Christian. And what he's saying is, Agrippa, if you become a Christian, you will have that forgiveness that Jesus sent me to teach you about. And that's a feeling of peace, a feeling of release that you can have. And Agrippa, Paul is trying to persuade him, and down in the next verses you see that this appeal is something that is an appeal to turn to God and experience God's forgiveness. Look at verse 19. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. Paul's trying to persuade Agrippa that he can feel that repentance. He can know that forgiveness, the emotion that comes from turning to God. They will be with God. They'll be at peace, not worried about their future. They'll be consistent in their lives, actions that are truly repentant, knowing that they're honorable and not needing to be ashamed of their behavior. They'll have the help. He says in verse 22, to this day I've had the help that comes from God. He's saying to Agrippa, you can have that help. You can have that confidence that comes from knowing that you're serving God. Those are wonderful feelings that we can have as Christians. And he's trying to persuade Agrippa by that sense of experiencing God. These feelings of peace and honor, of confidence, should motivate Agrippa, should motivate him to accept Jesus. You know what? You have feelings in you right now. And it comes as a surprise to you, but you do. And the question is, what will you be persuaded by? Will you be persuaded by the feelings that God offers or the feelings that this world offers? This world offers all kinds of feelings. Certain sort of pride in who you are, certain sort of possessions you can obtain, a certain sort of pleasure you can have in your body. God offers a peace with Him, a confidence that comes from being with Him. And the question is what will we choose in this life? I know a woman right now who is choosing peace with God, the feeling of peace with God, over the feeling of peace with her family. She has a choice right there. She could say, I'm going to stop worshiping God and I'm going to enfold myself in the love of my family, even though it's contrary to God's will. She's choosing to be persuaded by what God offers there. I know a man who this very morning woke up hungover because he chose the feeling of the bottle over the feeling of sobriety and relationship with God. We're making choices in life. What are we going to be persuaded by? What are you going to be persuaded by? I know a man who right now is choosing to give up his well-paying job and a lot of possessions so that he can better serve God and be more confident of his relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants that feeling of confidence with God and pleasing God over the pleasure of this world. And what Paul is doing with Agrippa is saying, Agrippa, you can have the forgiveness, the relationship with God, which God offers. Be persuaded by that, in addition to the truth of the resurrection. And the question is whether Agrippa will choose to give up his own power and his own pleasure in order to know the peace of God. And the evidence suggests he doesn't. Evidence suggests he just said, I'd rather have my power, my pleasure, thank you very much. But Paul lays that option out for him and asks him whether he will be motivated, whether he'll be persuaded to become a Christian and have the forgiveness of God. So, what are you persuaded by? I'm persuaded by the truth of the resurrection. It happened. And as a result, it changes who I am. And I'm persuaded by the feelings that God provides, the peace, the confidence that comes from a relationship with Jesus, which passes understanding. And so I'll choose to be faithful to him because of that feeling that comes from that. Amen. That's what persuades us. But finally, Paul doesn't leave it there. He says, you know what? I know there's a third thing that persuades people. The third thing that persuades people is the lives of believers. Seeing other people's examples. Not only the fact of the gospel, not only the feeling of forgiveness, but seeing faithful lives of people. When we see people's character, good character, it causes us to want to become a Christian. It persuades them. You know what? The evidence of that, that people's character and example changes us, is all through this room right here. Why do you think it is that our family has such a big influence on our faith? We are influenced by our family because we see in them the good that comes from the gospel. Amen. And that persuades us. Now, yes, we believe in the resurrection and we believe in the power of God, experiencing God's forgiveness. We believe that. But the reason family has such a strong influence on us and leads us to Christ is because we are convicted, we are persuaded by the good example of those who have become Christians before us. And that's as it should be. And Paul uses that very sort of persuasive argument to say, look what kind of life comes from being a Christian. You should be persuaded by that. He does that in a number of ways. First of all, he throughout this chapter, he points to his own life. He points to his example, his conversion. He says, I was a persecutor of Christians, and God changed me. Be like me. In fact, he says specifically, be like me there at the very end. You remember what he says in verse 29? After Agrippa says, you almost persuaded me, or you think you can persuade me in too short a time. In verse 29, Paul says, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you also, but all who hear me might become such as I am, except for these chains. He's saying, look at me, look what God's done in me. And be persuaded by that if you're not persuaded by other things. And so we're persuaded by the good example of other Christians, of the faithfulness that we see in people's lives. And so the persuasive power example is something that we know very well. And as Christians, we need to be setting that example because that persuades others. You don't need to be a Christian to understand this. I was watching a car commercial last night. And it struck me as they were showing this car commercial that the driver was smiling the whole time. He was so happy. He's happy and he's moving around and just he was just really pumped. And I was like, yeah, that makes you want to go out and buy that car, doesn't it? Because you see, people are so happy with their car. You know what they don't show you, right? They don't show you with his car at the gas station, you know, pumping the gas and paying the gas. They don't show you he's at the dealership waiting for the car to get fixed, you know, paying the tolls. Don't show any of that, having to wash the car. Show the good experience with the car. And the point here is that we're persuaded by positive example. Persuaded to buy a car, persuaded to become a Christian. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's for the right reasons.
And so Paul says, look at my positive example. Look at my life. Look at who I am and become like me because God has worked in me.
And so Agrippa has all of this evidence. The question is, will he become a Christian? Will he be persuaded to become a Christian? He's seen the truth of the resurrection. Jesus is the raised Son of God. You should follow him. He's seen the power of experiencing God in forgiveness and the feelings that brings. He's seen the character and the good example, the ethics of Paul, that he's a good man, that God has changed him, and that he, Agrippa, might be like him. And the question is he persuaded? Well, we don't have evidence in Scripture that Agrippa ever becomes a Christian, nor from outside Scripture. But the fact that Agrippa doesn't become a Christian doesn't diminish the truth of the gospel. Amen. Doesn't diminish at all the fact that God is true and his gospel is true. What it shows us is that God, nor the apostles, God does not force anyone to become a Christian. It's a choice that each one of us has to make in our life. No matter how powerful the evidence, nor how focused the effort, God leaves it up to us in our hearts what we will do, whether we will be a Christian and whether we'll stay a Christian. You know, the other thing it shows me is the fact that we have Agrippa here and we don't know whether he was a Christian shows me that the Bible is not propaganda. You know what I mean? You ever seen propaganda? It tells you truth and it only tells you one side of the truth. You think, well, that's all bias, that's all prejudice. I'm not going to believe that. That's just someone trying to persuade me. Well, the Bible shows you the truth of the situation with Agrippa. It tells you what Paul teaches him, and it shows you Agrippa was kind of hard-nosed about it. It shows you the full reality, the full truth of that situation, and that's something I can believe in. Because it's not just showing me things on the slant, on the sly, trying to persuade me in regards to the truth. It's telling me the reality is that Agrippa was a skeptic. And that he didn't evidently make the right choice. And the question for me is, am I going to make the right choice? The Bible speaks with integrity, with reliability, and we can have confidence in it as a result. The question this morning, and we'll conclude with this, is, are you persuaded by these three things to become a Christian and to stay and live as a Christian? Are you persuaded? It's not going to happen by chance. No one can force you to do it. It's going to need to be a choice that you make in your life. The truth of the resurrection message, the power of forgiveness, that feeling that we have of peace with God, and the good example of fellow Christians, just such as those who are here, all these things persuade us to become a Christian. Will you be persuaded this morning to name Jesus as your Savior based upon what Paul has said here in Acts 26? And will you remain a Christian for these reasons? It's God's invitation while we stand and while we sing.